Greetings, kindred witches, curious listeners, and new practitioners to the craft. Welcome to Atomic Witchcraft. Here, I share my experience as I build a modern-day, inclusive witchcraft practice rooted in nature's seasons, the celestial cycles, and the science of energy. Join me as we build a practice that learns from our past, is rooted in our present, and works towards building a better future, all while connecting deeply to the earth and sky around us. Let us begin a new era of witchcraft. This podcast is recorded on the homeland of the Duwamish people, and more broadly, the Coast Salish people, as well as many other indigenous tribes that make their home here in the Pacific Northwest, past, present, and future. As a spiritual being and steward of this land that I call home, I feel honored with the responsibility of caring for this piece of our planet. The Atomic Witchcraft team participates in Real Rent Duwamish as a way to compensate for the land that was stolen through violence and broken land treaties. I encourage you to look into and participate in Real Rent programs that support indigenous communities in your area. Please take a moment to join me in honoring the original stewards of the land on which you are residing, and a moment of gratitude for the earth itself and the bounty it provides. Please join me in words that work for you. To the ancestors that hold this ground, and for those spirits yet to come, may you fill me with guidance as I learn my place as a steward of this land and its creatures. In the gift of this role, I hold gratitude for all that surrounds me, for the water which cleanses me, for the earth's fruit which nourishes me, for the air that breathes life, for the fire that warms as it burns, and for the divine cosmos within. I am a child of the universe, at one with the trees and the stars. May the tides of the moon fill me with silver and the sunbeams tint me in gold. From light to dark, from birth to death, spring to winter, new moon to full, and back again. It is a beautiful world, one worth protecting. This I will, as within, so without, as above, so below, as I am, so mote it be. Good moon, witches, and welcome to our hearth. Ah, yes, the last super moon of the season, and just after that potent tipping point of the equinox. We hope you were all able to take a moment to observe the season, whatever that might mean for you. And if you haven't yet, it's not too late. Conjure that during that sunrise or evening energy is a great way to tap into that same equinox sort of vibe. Whether you're building towards the warmer days of May or the waning energies of All Spirits Eve, this liminal time is the season of witch. For those in the Southern Hemisphere, a full moon after the spring equinox is the first boost to spell work that might involve attraction, growth, or gain. Everything from new jobs to new houses, spouses, and money, and more are great manifestations of that spring energy. If you really want to double down, use that morning time to meditate on your manifestation. Then spend the day putting that intent into action. Action, as always, is here key. Once you raise the energy, you need to do something with it. And ideally, that something is related to what you're trying to manifest. Looking for that perfect new home? Then after a morning of meditating on your ideal attributes, head out and start the hunt. Early spring is still planting territory, so don't expect your spells to fruit right away. It may take a few moon turns before you really start to see signs of a harvest. Other times, you may be planting more of a spring garden, and that energy, filled with short bursts and blooms, comes quickly at this time. Lean in. For those of us in the Northern Hemisphere, as we tip into the darker time of year, we may find ourselves nesting into that autumn vibe. I know I spent yesterday redoing my house and getting things ready for the winter season. Cozy and comfort tend to fill this time, a way to wrap ourselves in warmth and safety as we smell the change on the wind, the taste of letting go. And so we prepare ourselves for what we might let go and for the darker days ahead. This is a good time for spell work that might be about releasing and banishing. And this can even be if you are still looking for that new home. But instead of attracting, you will be looking to identify what no longer serves you, giving gratitude and letting go. It's the flip of the coin. Alternatively, you may find your spell work more drawn to shadow and ancestral work as we turn to the stillness within. Lunar tides be with you. All Spirits Eve, or Halloween, is filled with witchy imagery. The witch upon their broom, or stirring over the cauldron, often accompanied by their familiar, a traditional black cat. And today, that's what I want to talk about, familiars. In histories, familiars were considered to be demons that did a witch or a cunning person's bidding. However, I'd like to offer a more modern witchcraft approach to the concept of a witch's familiar and kindred spirits. With that in mind, I offer the idea that a familiar or a kindred spirit is any creature energy, whether real or fantasy, that a witch might embody or build a relationship with to better manifest particular energy. Witches generally build these relationships with animals or creatures they find themselves in tune with. Crows and black cats are common ones that we find in trope and, well, reality, because, well, crows and cats pick their humans and they tend to find us witches. Don't ask me how. Maybe we have like a witchy pheromone. That being said, dogs, birds, squirrels, and animals of all kinds often find their way into the energy circles we create. Whether it's home, yard, or a frequented park, animals can often find witch. I want to take a moment to acknowledge that this type of relationship is sacred in many cultures, and it is key that we are mindful of our words here, sticking strictly to witchcraft terms such as familiar and kindred spirits. Developing relationships with animals, elementals, and all aspects of nature is to be approached with respect. If you're interested in a particular cultural practice, please make sure you reach out to an appropriate source from within that culture to learn with respect. So that being said, for me, familiars tend to speak more directly to earthly type animals, while kindred spirits encapsulate some of the more esoteric applications like fae, sylphs, gnomes, deities, and others, including other witches. Kindred are like, but not like, similar in qualities or understanding. Working together with these forms allows us to step outside our usual energy patterns to embrace and learn something that might help us grow as practitioners, humans, and souls. It's embracing experiences that are unlike your own and truly, in some cases, learning to see through their eyes. Whether it is to adopt similar characteristics, appeal for energetic aid, or build a lasting relationship, the role of familiar or kindred spirit is one of deep respect within the practice, a role we take on with responsibility to care for that relationship. It's worth noting here that our household pets may or may not actually be our familiars. I say this because, one, you should never force any animal to participate in any sort of ritual, magic, or energy working unless they choose to be present. And two, while you may love little Fluffy, it doesn't mean you want to connect with or embody their energy in that way. In most cases, I really stress to leave your pets out of your practice, unless, of course, they really choose to be present, and some do. So then what does it mean to actually work with familiars or kindred? One way of working with familiars might manifest as a little casually, such as if you want to manifest a good home, look to the animals and creatures who build the best ones. Beavers and other burrow animals come to mind, but also spiders and perhaps birds in their nests. In that, a witch might study more about the animal, its habits, its evolutions, its strengths and weaknesses, and learn to incorporate more of the desired behaviors into their own actions. On a more spiritual level, a witch might invite this kindred spirit into their astral space or even do meditations embodying the animal itself. This is where the concept of astral shapeshifting comes in. Then other times, there are animals that speak to us on a deeper energetic level. Here, the familiar might make reoccurring appearances in your life, whether directly or through symbolism. Been running into a lot of images of bears lately? What might that mean? Sure, yes, it could just be a trend in like maybe bears are just like the next big kitchen item, but pay attention to where and how this familiar is showing up. It could be trying to say something. We may also find ourselves inundated with a particular animal in our life. Insects, land animals, birds, their presence speaks to something. Whether a budding relationship, a seasonal shift, or an encroachment on habitat. As witches, it's important for us to tune in. In the witch's wheel concept, practicing and building relationships with familiars occurs at every elemental level. Beginning with the animals of earth, who tend to find a more commonly around us, like squirrels and, you know, bunnies, those sorts of things. Then moving on to those of air and water. The idea here is that each element houses certain types of energy and that animals and creatures are sometimes the purest forms of that energy. From atoms to pheromones, evolution to natural instincts, it is the energetic hardwiring that allows these creatures to survive in their surrounding elements. There's something for us to learn there, even if we are to gain a better understanding of the elements themselves. From mammals to birds, fish, amphibians, reptiles, and more, each has its own atomic makeup, its own tune that it hums so that it can survive and hopefully flourish in its environment. By developing relationships with these animals, whether directly or indirectly, we are able to replicate that energy into our own manifestations. If we build that into our practice to have a familiar with the energy of every element, then we have the ability to work with that energy in another way, from another angle. In the witch's wheel, following water, you will notice that astrofamiliars makes an appearance before fire elementals or familiars. This is because fire familiars can often be harder to access for some. When we're talking snakes, spiders, a lot of reptiles. For some, we have some intrinsic natural fears around those. And so we actually go ahead and put astral familiars first, or kindred spirits. And this is born of a particular type of energy, often one built from hundreds of years of shared human beliefs, stories we have told ourselves for centuries. Fae, nymphs, sylphs, gnomes, centaurs, unicorns, and even raw elementals. These stories gain power and traction in the collective unconscious, and we can learn to tap into the energies that weave those creatures into being. This can also be an avenue of deity work, focus less on worship and more about echoing the energy of the deity. These kindred spirits may also take unexpected shapes, deceased loved ones, or creatures you have never seen before. Often, though, they do rely on shapes we are familiar with, even while maybe not earthly shapes. Ultimately, it comes down to choosing to build a connection with a familiar or kindred spirit, whether its symbolism appears in synchronicities or whether you're just drawn to it. Explore the animal or creature, its symbolism among a variety of cultures, and then, with stillness, you can begin to tune into the energy you are drawn to. In the meantime, continue to learn and find ways to honor and support the real-life versions of your familiars, from responsible bird feeding to donating to save a species or protect habitats, from telling their stories to creating artwork. These are ways we can act as stewards to all familiars and kindred spirits.
Welcome back, everyone. Alyssa here again with Witch in Action, in which I share some ways that you can integrate mindful living into your practice. Now, the suggestions I make may not suit everybody or every body. I acknowledge that everyone has their journey, and sometimes certain sustainable or mindful living practices may not suit that journey. It's not about perfection. It's about doing just a little bit better and allowing grace for those who are unable to. As we've been talking about familiars, I feel it's important to touch on how we as witches can be good neighbors to our wild friends. From the insects to birds and even larger mammals, there's a lot you can do in your outdoor space to ensure a balanced coexistence. This time of year in the Northern Hemisphere, folks typically cut back their dead plants and expel leaves from their yard. I'm here to advise you not to do that. Over the course of the winter, many helpful insects use the stems and dead foliage of plants in your garden to shelter and hibernate. I typically wait until early spring to cut back dead plants, at least until daytime temperatures are consistently above 50 degrees Fahrenheit or so. Same goes for fallen leaves. They make amazing cover for bugs and small critters, but if you can't stand leaves in your yard, then I highly recommend raking them up and spreading them in your garden beds. Not only will this provide that vital winter cover, but it will break down in the spring and make amazing mulch. Another way you can be a good neighbor is by helping out your local songbird population. I deeply believe feline familiars should remain indoors. Not only is it safer for them, but it also lessens the impact they have on your feathered friends. If you do want your cats to have outside time, I highly recommend an enclosure of sorts, like those all-popular catios you see nowadays, so that they can enjoy fresh air while keeping the birds safe. As someone who has two feline familiars, I definitely advocate for this 100%. You can also take steps to make sure things on your property remain in balance when it comes to wild predators. I know witches and crows go together like peanut butter and jelly, but if you attract a large murder of them to your yard through food consistently, then it could potentially have a negative impact on smaller birds. It's all about just keeping that balance. One of my favorite ways to lend a helping hand to your wild neighbors is to garden and landscape in a mindful way. Plant flowers that can feed your local pollinators. Choose native plants. Don't use pesticides, weed killer, artificial fertilizers, etc., etc. Leave those early dandelions in your yard to give that bee population a boost until other flowers start blooming. If you are able to, you can even convert a portion of your outdoor space into a full wildlife habitat. Organizations like the National Wildlife Federation and their partner Garden for Wildlife have amazing guides and classes on how to do this in your own backyard, and they will even certify your habitat. Even if you have just a small plot of land or an apartment balcony, every square foot that you can dedicate to a helpful patch makes a difference. Finally, we should talk about wildlife etiquette when it comes to food and injuries. The short of it is, never feed wildlife, never touch an injured animal. When you feed wild animals, they learn to be dependent on humans and can lead to them getting harmed or destructive. I have a relative that fed squirrels every day, and one day those squirrels tried to gnaw through their back door to get more food. That's a situation no one wants. The only exception I will make to feeding wildlife is putting out a bird feeder in winter for your lovely feathered friends. It really helps get them through that hard season, and as long as you take steps to carefully sanitize that feeder every once in a while, it can mitigate spreading diseases for them, so we want to be mindful of that. And then as far as injured wildlife goes, there are many resources available that have staff who are trained to help them out. It varies from state to state, but here in Washington, we call our Department of Fish and Wildlife. It would be the best course of action. They have connections to wildlife rehabilitation centers near you and can help connect you to one in your area. Respecting and supporting our wild neighbors is important to walking a balanced, nature-based witchcraft path. What are some things you can do to live in balance with your natural world? Alyssa here again to tee up our next Sunday Haven, currently planned for Sunday, October 15th, just following the upcoming new moon. As always, what makes Atomic Witchcraft thrive is all of you, so please join us again. Engage us with your questions and thoughts anytime, and consider tossing a coin to your witches if you're able. QR code here takes you to our Patreon. Now for a moment. Let's hold our virtual hands a little tighter before letting go to step back into our days. We hope today's haven has deepened connections to our world and each other a little bit further.
As we wrap today, the team at Atomic Witchcraft thanks you for listening. We are looking forward to exploring this new path with you and would love to connect via social media or Patreon. Linktree is in the bios. Access is always free, and we work to harbor a safe hearth for all. As above, so below. As within, so without. As we end, so we begin.